everyone. This is Safeguarding Matters, a podcast by the Safeguarding Resource and Support Hub, RSH. RSH supports organizations in the health sector to strengthen their safeguarding policy and practice. I am Oluchi Ihedoro, the national representative for the Nigerian Hub. In this podcast series, we will discuss matters related to safeguarding in the health sector. We will have conversations with thought leaders and practitioners who can offer insights that can help us all to better understand safeguarding and improve our practices. In this episode, we will be listening to a radio interview, 104.5 Love FM, Abuja, with Sylvia Moko. Sylvia is the communications officer for RSH Nigeria. Sylvia will be talking about the International Women's Day and what the Nigerian Resource and Support Hub is doing to commemorate this year's IWD 2024.
In commemoration of Women's Day or Women's Month, we're still on the talk on women. And today I have a very wonderful and special person with me in the studio. I have Sylvia Moko from RSH. Good morning to you, Sylvia.
Good morning, Peniel. Thank you for having me.
We know that the theme for this year is gender inclusion, right? Bridging the gap. They have inclusivity for women.
So it's actually invest in women, accelerate progress.
Yes, invest in women, accelerate progress. Then there's inclusivity in it also. So I think you're more interested in invest in women, accelerate progress. But then, before we go to this discussion, just on a lighter note, but let's look at women generally when it comes to governance. How far have women come so far?
Women have come a long way, sincerely. I think, from my perspective, it depends on the society. So for some societies, the patriarchal norms seems as though it's keeping the women down. For some more exposed societies, I would say they are more inclusive and they give equal opportunities for women. So generally, I would say a lot of progress is being made. Women are taking strides. Women are bringing things to the table and taking fantastic positions and making amazing decisions.
Let's go straight to business this morning. Can you just share with us the significance of the International Women's Day theme to RSH?
Absolutely. Thank you once again. So the theme for International Women's Day 2024 is invest in women, accelerate progress. And this theme holds profound significance for us in RSH. It embodies our commitment to keeping people safe, because that's actually what we do at RSH. Safeguarding is all about keeping people safe. And so specifically for us, this involves fostering gender equality and empowering women globally whilst doing no harm. That's what safeguarding is all about, doing no harm. And so this theme resonates deeply with us because we recognize that investing in women not only benefits individuals, but also the society as a whole. When women are given opportunities, whether in education, employment, healthcare, it accelerates progress in various spheres, from economic growth to social development. There is a common saying, I'm sure you've heard, that when you empower a woman, you empower a village. And so in today's world, where gender disparities persist in many areas, including access to education, healthcare, things as little as that, so prioritizing investment in women is actually crucial. And by so doing, we can unlock the immense potentials and drive positive change for generations to come.
Sylvia, something happened of recent. I'm sure you're aware of Adora, right? You have the story of Adora, the new CEO of Zenith Bank.
Yes.
And it's been all over the social media. That on its own has generated another topic of discourse where people are saying, if you think that investing in a woman is a waste of time, you can just look at this. Beautiful and also intelligent. I just want to, the banking sector, women are beginning to take their place as far as the banking sector is concerned. And if we look at the theme of the year also, we're talking about like accelerate progress and then gender equality through economic empowerment. Can we see this? Can we say that we're seeing it play out right now in our society?
Oh, most definitely. Thank you very much for that. Yes, it is playing out. When women rise in the ranks in their different careers, it has actually shown that they do more. I don't know if to use the word that women find it easy to multitask and manage things. And so when given the right opportunity and the safe space and the right environment, women thrive. And just like you rightly said, we can see it in Adora. She has grown in the ranks and she's doing excellently well. So yes, when women are given the right environment, they do thrive.
Well, so what does this theme mean to you? You're speaking with so much passion this morning. What does the theme for this year mean to you, and why is it crucial in today's world? But then also, for RSH Initiative for International Women's Day, tell us more about it.
The Resource and Support Hub, RSH Nigeria, we are committed to commemorating the International Women's Day. And in our commitment to commemorating this day and to focus on investing in women to accelerate progress, this led us to develop a resource. I should have mentioned that from our name, Resource and Support Hub, we are an online hub where we provide loads and loads of free resources to civil society organizations, which are also beneficial to a lot other organizations, even if they are not civil society organizations. Mm-hmm. And so back to what I was saying, that so our commitment to investing in women to accelerate progress led us to develop yet another impactful resource called ABCD of Safeguarding Women and Girls. This particular resource is just a set of quick and easy to remember recommendations for organizations on the safeguarding considerations that they should adopt in keeping women and girls safe in the work and interventions that they do.
Now, I want to draw a little bit on this. Africa, generally, some will say, have this patriarchal nature where women are not given the space to do what they really have to do. But at least for the first time, we have seen a female president in Africa. And I, for one, I'm hoping that someday I'll have a Nigerian female president. But then, let's look at Africa. Do we see more of that? You know Helen Sirleaf, Johnson Helen Sirleaf. You know, when she became president in Africa, people were like, wow, is this really possible? A female president in Africa. Do we see more of this? Do you hope to see more of this?
Yes, definitely. I do hope to see more of this. However, like I said, it is a culture, so it depends on the culture of the people, their beliefs, their systems. So how aware are they? How exposed and acceptable are they to have inclusion in their processes and systems? That's what would lead to, for example, like you said, having the female president. So I wouldn't group Africa as a whole. I would take each country as a whole. So if that particular country has been able to accept the diversity and inclusion and are able to push and support a woman to become president, that is so commendable. So that is what we hope every other country would do. But like I said, it starts with the culture, the deep-seated norms of that particular country or society, as it were.
How does RSH contribute to empowering women and girls?
We have so many initiatives. However, one of the ways that we contribute to empowering women and girls is by providing access to resources and tools for gender equality and women rights. Back again to the resource I just talked about, the ABCD of safeguarding women and girls. Because our target audience are less resource CSOs, so we develop things for their benefit. So this resource is for the benefit of less resource CSOs, and like I said also, it's also beneficial to any other sector. Because safeguarding is broad, we just have the target audience within our scope to focus on less resource CSOs. Civil society organizations is what I mean.
Many women will be wondering how they can gain access to these resources you're talking about. Because some will say there are so many bottlenecks here and there. Is RSH not like other organizations? They've seen come make very watery promises to people. And at the end of the day, having access to those resources becomes a huge problem.
For us at the Safeguarding Resource and Support Hub, all our resources are free. You just need to be able to access our website, which is nigeria.safeguardingsupporthub.org. Once you log in there, you will have a plethora of resources, all free. You can download as you will. You can also attend our bi-monthly webinars, which are free also. We just held one yesterday. And we also have our newsletters that we send out periodically to keep everyone, our audience and our, you know, listeners can subscribe to our newsletter so that they can be informed on our upcoming events and latest resources that we have added to our website and all. So these are different ways that we RSH gets involved.
Can I ask how, you know, your audience can engage with your initiative? Is there a way they can engage with your initiative?
Actually, yes, they can. First, just like I mentioned earlier, they can actually engage by attending these free webinars. The one we had yesterday was so interesting and so engaging. Lots of questions were answered. A lot more are going to still be answered and sent via our website. So already taking part in our webinars by attending is one of the ways our audience can engage. Subscribing to our newsletter is another way. Visiting our website and seeing so many other services that we offer. We also offer a service that we call Ask an Expert. This is also a free service where organizations, networks, which we encourage, why we encourage networks, because it has a lot more reach. So we encourage networks of organizations to go ahead and log into our website and access the free Ask an Expert service. It's free because we help you, we handhold you and walk you through integrating safeguarding in all your systems, processes, and policies. And this already would strategically align you for more productivity and, of course, more grants.
It's RSH also, you know, considering how to reach out to women who are not computer savvy, to say, because from all you're saying, you have to be knowledgeable about the internet. You must have access to internet before one can actually have a direct engagement with RSH. Is RSH also making provision for women who are in the hinterland who are not privileged to modern day technology, like some would say?
So yes, we do have hard copies of some of our resources. For example, this particular ABCD of safeguarding for women and girls, we actually have the hard copies. Okay. I have even brought some to the studio, which I hope you would take. However, our target audience, like I said, are organizations, civil society organizations. Okay. And so every civil society organization has a website, has data, and also those organizations are able to access these resources. They now cascade this information down to the particular community that they have their intervention in. now they can translate, they can download these resources, print it out, and then have the printables as hard copies that they can use to reach these possible beneficiaries who do not have access to data. But once again, we also have our, okay, that's back to internet. I was going to say they could email us.
You know, something was just popping up on my mind. There's this language we use to caption, they say, catch them young, especially for teenagers who are just, you know, growing up and who are now social media inclined and all the fit. Perhaps maybe RSH could think towards that line of engaging school. Perhaps, who knows?
We are trying to ensure that civil society organizations, particularly less resourced civil society organizations, are aware of what safeguarding is all about.
Okay.
And that they integrate this in all their programs and interventions. So that's why I said that our target audience are these organizations. We have to make sure that... So let me just give a typical example. For example, an organization wants to go and have an intervention in a community. Mm. Maybe, this is just as an example, they are supplying maybe exercise books to some schools way in hard to reach areas. And in going to do that, as they plan to do that, they get all their staff ready, everybody's well trained, they get all the goods together, and then they go into this community. While staff are actually doing the work, for example, they might have forgotten that maybe the driver is also seen as a member, as a part of that organization in the eyes of the community. And so while the staff of the organization go in to do their work, the driver could just, you know, go somewhere maybe to eat, and for some reason is involved in a safeguarding breach. Maybe he talks to a minor and has some inappropriate relationship or communication with a minor. That is a safeguarding concern. That's a safeguarding breach, and it is seen as the organization doing that. So now when you integrate safeguarding in your processes, you'll be planning with the safeguarding lens on, and when you're looking critically, you would actually remember that, oh, what are the possible risks that can happen? Is it possible that even volunteers and our drivers or any other person might do? And that would make you bring them into the training. So you will not like see them as, oh, he's just a driver that is going to take the staff to a certain venue while the staff do their work. You would see everyone as a part of that organization who needs to be exposed and aware of safeguarding concerns because they are representing you. And safeguarding, like I said earlier, is do no harm both to your organization and to the community that you're serving.
Wow, we are just trying to create another arm for RSH. Who knows? I was just trying to create another arm for RSH, but then it's okay. Now, I know we've said so many things this morning. The last illustration you just made, really, really important, where you have to carry everyone along. You don't discriminate or show that disparity. This person is just a driver. He's not part of the process. He's just there to drop us off, take us back to the office. And eventually, if there's any breach, people don't see that driver as an individual. They see him as part of the organization who actually came to help the community. Is there any call to action that you could give to members of the society?
Thank you. Yes, please. I would say all our listeners out there, please log into our website, nigeria.safeguardingsupporthub.org. And feel free to send us an email. The email address is there. Feel free to subscribe to our newsletter. The link is also there. And feel free to sign up, register, and join our bi-monthly webinars. Thank you.
It wouldn't be fair if I end this without asking this. For the women, like you said, culture sometimes could a clog in the wheel for some certain people to progress in life. What's your message also to women this morning? I intentionally brought the case of Adora, right? Now we're having a litany of women who are leading in the economic sector, in the financial sector, just name them, about seven of them right now. at some point people say, ah, sending a woman to school doesn't make any sense. It's like you're just pouring water inside a basket. At the end of the day, she's not part of the family. She'll move out, you know, all of that. But like there's a change of narrative right now. So for you, what's your message also to women out there listening to you, perhaps who are still thinking from that other side of thought that there's no point training my daughter. The girl child has no business going to school. No need to empower her. All she needs to do is just grow up. We'll marry her out and life goes on. So what's your message to that category of women, if we still have some of them?
My message to women out there would be awareness. To be aware is to be empowered. And so in empowering a woman, you're actually becoming more aware and more knowledgeable of your rights, your environment, and all that really you need to do. So if I might just quickly refer back to the ABCD of safeguarding women for women and girls, that document, each letter actually stands for a particular thing. So for example, A is for awareness. We're trying to say that, so for example, in choosing an event for a woman's activity, you need to be considerate. Don't choose an event where maybe there's just one toilet and then the women have to struggle with the men. Choose a venue where there is actually a separation so that women feel comfortable. Also, for example, B is for bystander intervention. Don't be a bystander. Speak up. If you see something, just like my colleague says, if you see something, say something. And this also includes the men. We encourage them to also say something. The C is culture. In culture, organizational culture, every organization should have zero tolerance for inaction to sexual exploitation, abuse, and harassment, commonly called SEER. And then the D is for disability inclusion. When you're planning for any program or intervention, you need to be aware and sensitive and have the approach to disability inclusive safeguarding. By this, it means you would identify the fact that there could be people who may not be able to access certain. So going back even to the events venue that I mentioned, it could be a venue where the room is upstairs, beautiful room, has all the facilities, but maybe there are no ramps for someone that might be on a wheelchair. So all of these awareness, just being aware of all of these key points already would make you more successful in your interventions and in your programs. And it will make the women more comfortable, more confident, and more empowered to step out and do whatever task is required of them. So once again, to the women out there, being aware, being knowledgeable and being confident in what's expected of you will make you step out and succeed. Thank you.
What a way to wrap it. Be aware, be knowledgeable, and be confident. I think I like that. Be aware, awareness, then talk about confidence, show it, and be knowledgeable. It will really go a long way. Thank you very much, Silva Woko from RSH. I hope to have you some other time again.
Thank you, Piniel. It's been wonderful being here.
And to all the women, once again, happy International Women's Month. Just know that we love you and we wish that, like I will always say, I wish that someday I will see a female president. Well, Sylvia, thank you very much for your time today.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you want to learn more about this program, why not visit our online platform at nigeria.safeguardingsupporthub.org. If you have any comments on this episode or want to share your thoughts for the focus of future episodes, please contact us on info@safeguardingsupporthub.org. Thanks for joining. See you on our next podcast.